We are in a brief series just titled Power Up. It is about having power in your Christian life. Last week we talked about how that same power that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, is also at work in us who believe. That is tremendous power. The God that we believe in, the Christianity that we live, is not a powerless Christianity. He's not a powerless God, but He is a God who cares about His people, and His power is available. And we need to know that as a Christian, as a child of God, there is power that's available, and yet it seems that so many lack the power in their life to truly overcome. Last week we talked about the importance of believing. Jesus tells us in Mark 11, 24, when we pray, that we are to believe we receive, and He says, then you shall have it. What things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. It's important that we believe. That's how we tap in to the power of God. But I want you to notice He also said, we receive. What things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. You got to believe you receive. Jesus also said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. And that's what we're talking about. That power is available. Well, how do we get it in our life? Well, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If we want to receive power, we need to understand that that power is in the Holy Spirit. We need to look to the Holy Spirit, realize that He is the source of the power for the Christian life. Every Christian that wants the power to overcome, to live a victorious Christian life, I need to know this, that that power is in the Holy Spirit. One New Year's Day parade many years ago, there was a float that stalled out in the middle of the parade. It ran out of gas. It belonged to the Standard Oil Company. What's wrong with that picture? I'm sure that they had all of the gasoline they could have possibly wanted, and yet their float runs out of gas. What a good picture, illustration, of a Christian that doesn't have the power, the strength that they need to live a Christian life. Because that power is just as available to us. It's there for us. John 14 and 17. Jesus told the disciples, He said, He is with you and He shall be in you. He was talking about the Holy Spirit that in Himself, Jesus, was with them. But then He says, but He shall be in you. The same one that walked this earth, that did miracles, signs and wonders, good works, healed people. That same one, Jesus says, is going to be in you. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we need to realize that it's that same one who was in the Lord Jesus. He's in us. When we have the Holy Spirit, we have power. If the Holy Spirit is in you, then power is in you. That power... Now listen, there's a lot of strange notions that people get, a lot of misconceptions, and I tell you, just messed up thinking. Not just about the Holy Spirit, but all kinds of things. But especially, it seems like things regarding the Holy Spirit, people get weird ideas. Now I want you to understand, I want to clarify to you. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just at your discretion and will to use however you desire. No, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit gifts us severally as He wills. It's the Holy Spirit that anoints and gifts people as He chooses. And the power of God is certainly not for our selfish desires. But you need to understand, though, that that power is available to work in us and to flow through our lives to minister to others, to bring the kingdom of God in this world, to make a difference in this world. The power of the Holy Spirit produces the gifts or the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Listen, it's how you live this Christian life. It empowers you to be a witness for the Lord. It empowers us for ministry. I want to read this one more time, Acts 1:8. Well, not one more. I'm going to read it several more, all right? Because we're going to get this. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But instead of being a source of power, it seems that there's a lot of confusion in the body of Christ today, and controversy, and even conflict over the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it is a scheme of Satan to keep people from receiving the power that is available to them. Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And yet, instead of being considered a blessing, somehow it has been turned into a matter of controversy and conflict and something for people to disagree about. I'm telling you, there's a lot of ignorance about the person and work of the Holy Spirit and a lot of misconceptions. The Word of God has much to say about the Holy Spirit. And we need to look to the Word of God for answers. The first thing we need to know about the Holy Spirit is it's not an it. He's not an it. He is a He. The Holy Spirit is God. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is God. And so when we talk about Him, we shouldn't talk about Him like He's some it, but a person. He is part of the triune God. We need to understand that. The Holy Spirit is God the Spirit. See, the Scripture tells us that He is our teacher. In fact, Jesus said He will teach you all things. Now, I'm not going to give you the verse references for these right now, but I'm telling you, this is all straight from Scripture. Jesus called the Holy Spirit our helper. Now, the Holy Spirit is not your helper like daddy's little helper, you know, when you're working on a project and you get your five-year-old to help you. No, it's like when you're the five-year-old and you get daddy to help you. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Jesus told the disciples very plainly, He said, I'm going to the Father, but the Spirit will be with you forever. Then later when He says to them again, He says, I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But it is through the person of the Holy Spirit that He is with every one of us to the end of the age. He's not only with us, He lives inside of us. He is that greater one inside the believer that's greater than he that's in the world. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Romans chapter 8 says the Holy Spirit will lead you as a son, a daughter of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that leads you. It's the Holy Spirit that puts the love of God in our heart. He sheds abroad the love of God in our heart. It's the Holy Spirit that gifts us for ministry. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will give you the words to say when you are questioned about Him, when it's time to witness for the Lord and to speak for Jesus. He'll give you the words to say. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live a Christian life. See, when you're born again, you are born of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that testifies within ourselves that we are the children of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to overcome sin. It's the law of the Spirit of life that sets us free from the law of sin and death. It's by the Spirit, Romans chapter 8 tells us, that we put to death the misdeeds of the body. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us a partaker of the divine nature of God. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. You see, all that comes out of the Holy Spirit abiding in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us to change us day by day as we are conformed into the image of God's Son. It is His power at work in us and through us. Now, I want to say this. We should never be afraid or nervous about the Holy Spirit. You know, after I was born again, I had a number of Christian friends from different denominational backgrounds. I won't mention which ones to protect the guilty or innocent, however you want to look at it. But I didn't really know very much about the Scripture, know anything about the Holy Spirit. But I had several friends from different denominational backgrounds who were all talking to me about the Lord and about Scripture. And you know, with so many voices and so many different answers, I found that the only choice I really had, the only thing I could do, was to lay aside all of the opinions of other people and go straight to the Word of God myself. And you know, I think it was really a blessing that I didn't have a lot of tradition and religious teaching and background that would hinder me from looking into the Word of God and seeing the truth for what it is. So many people have been brought up being taught this and taught that, whether or not it was scripturally sound or not. But as I began to search the Scriptures and I began to read the Bible for myself and lay aside all the opinions that I'd heard and just read the Bible, I saw that the Holy Spirit is for us, that the Holy Spirit was for me, and that it was something that should be a part of my life today. See, we need the Word of God. That's our source of truth. That's how we know what's really right. It's the Word of God. And I want to encourage you this morning that the Word of God needs to be your source of truth. And lay aside tradition or what you've been taught and look to the Scripture. Now, when I was a child, I went to a church where I never ever even heard the Holy Spirit mentioned except in a hymn once in a while. Maybe you've been to a church like that. And most of my friends at their churches, they were never taught anything about the Holy Spirit, except maybe a few of them were taught you need to stay away from that. Stay away from that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit who is God, the Holy Spirit who lives in the life of every believer. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of churches that just don't talk about the Holy Spirit, and there are churches that teach against the Holy Spirit and act like it's something that's a bad thing. But you know, the real problem that a lot of people have with the Holy Spirit is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we want to look to the Scripture, but I just want to say this before we do. The Holy Spirit is not weird. He does not turn people into weird. Regardless of what you might have seen, you know, some people, they get filled with the Spirit and they're just weird. I can tell you, they were weird before they got filled with the Spirit. You check it out. The Holy Spirit does not turn people into kooks. Now, certainly, there are going to be those who say that we are fools. Fools for Christ's sake. I mean, they're going to tell you you're a fool if you believe in healing. They're going to tell you that you're a fool if you believe that God still does miracles. But yes, we do believe in a God. We believe in a Christianity that's powerful and life-changing. But being filled with the Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, does not turn you into a kook or a nut or a Fruit Loop. It makes you like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does inside of a person. He makes you more and more like Jesus. Listen, we are the body of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that makes us part of His body. And as part of the body of Christ, we're to be like Jesus. So being filled with the Spirit, being baptized with the Spirit, doesn't make you weird or kooky. It makes you more like Jesus. Some people claim to be full of the Spirit and yet are really a hindrance to the cause of Christ because they think they're proving their spirituality by being weird. Oh, come on. Now, y'all have all met one of them. You're bound to have. I mean, there's some people that think the weirder they act, the more spiritual they are. You know, I never see that in the life of Jesus, that he was weird or kooky. But he ministered to people, and he did miracles. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, everywhere he went. He ministered to people. He helped people. There were miracles that took place, but he never acted weird or kooky. All right, moving on. We need to see, and I'm telling you, some people really struggle with this because of some of the abuses and misuses and misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. We need to see that the Holy Spirit is a blessing. We need to see that being filled with the Spirit is something that every Christian should desire, to be filled with God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the religious people of his day, he said, "You're in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." We want to know both. We want to know the Scriptures and we want to know the power of God. So we're going to look to the Word of God this morning, begin with Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. And I want us to see what it says about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, what the Scriptures say about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." You will receive power. Hebrews 6, beginning with verse 1, he says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." If God permits, why wouldn't God permit us to go on to maturity? Because first, you got to lay a good foundation. And here are the foundational principles, elementary principles, that he's talking about. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. You know, most of the body of Christ understands most of those elementary principles except for one. The doctrine of baptisms. Baptisms. Plural. Not just one. You see, what most people know about the doctrine of baptism, just one, is, well, you either dunk or sprinkle. That's all we need to know. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons that we don't mature and grow up and move on in the things of God is because there is an elementary principle here that's not being taught and most believers just don't get. It's not just one baptism. There are three baptisms. And I'm going to try to keep this brief this morning, so we're going to just kind of go through this quickly. But you need to understand there are three baptisms. We're going to talk about those just real briefly. It's a foundation that has to be laid before we can go on to maturity. The first baptism is being baptized into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. If you look at the verse before, it makes it very clear that that body is Christ. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into Christ, into Christ's body. That is when you are born again. That happens at salvation. When you are born of the Spirit of God, you are baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ. The second baptism is the one that most everyone is familiar with. It is water baptism. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that water baptism symbolizes our old nature dying with Christ and being raised to live a new life in Christ. We talked about that last week. That's what water baptism symbolizes. The third baptism is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Listen to what John the Baptist says. Now, John the Baptist, he was the guy that water baptized everybody for repentance. He called and he preached and he called people to repentance and he baptized people in water. But listen to what he says in Matthew 3:11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now, that's not the same baptism as being baptized into Christ, because the Holy Spirit baptizes us into that one body, but it is Jesus who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Now, we read it in Matthew. Let's read it in Mark, Luke, and John. Mark 1 and 8. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then also in the book of Luke, Jesus mentioned it in Luke 24:49. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And notice he called it the promise of the Father. And then he also made this statement, you'll be endued with power from on high. John 1 and 33, John says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. All four Gospels, John testifies that Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. You know, there are not really very many things that are in all four Gospels. Especially the Gospel of John has a lot of different material. But all four Gospels tell us this, that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there is a doctrine here, there is a principle here that so many Christians just ignore and leave out of their life. Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. It's also in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the, here it is again, the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He made it very plain and clear that that promise was being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, and the Bible says that they spoke with other tongues, and every person there from whatever country, they heard the message of the gospel in their own language. And as Peter preached, they began to cry out to him. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Listen to Peter's answer. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen, he's talking about a gift. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You and your children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He was not just talking about a special select few, just a small group of people. See, some people want to say that, oh, well, that was only for a very small group of people. The rest of us don't get that power. Or some people want to say, well, it wasn't just for a small select few, but it was only for a special time. We just live in the wrong time. Back then they had power. Now we just have to make it on our own. No, this promise is for you and your children, for all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise. What promise? The promise of the Father that Jesus kept talking about, that they were going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, I have never heard anybody preach about salvation and say, now when you get saved and born again, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But then later, they'll say, oh, well, you got that when you got saved. Which way is it? I'm telling you, church, we need to stick with what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. It breaks my heart to hear people preaching the Bible and saying that, well, the only thing that's for us today is we can be saved and go to heaven. The rest of it was just for back then. I'm telling you, God wants you to live an abundant Christian life, a victorious, overcoming Christian life. And the key is that we need power. Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you know, that doesn't mean by any means that people who have not been baptized or received the fullness of the Spirit, that they are second-class Christians or that in some way that they are less. But it just means that power is available and they hadn't tapped into all that's there for them. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, Jesus said on the last day, the great day of that feast, he stood up and he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spake. Now listen, it explains it to us. He spake this concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Streams of living water flowing out of your innermost being. That's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer. I tell you, there are a lot of Christians that just got a little dab, just got a little touch, but not a stream of living water flowing out of their life. That's what's available to us. Some people got a dripping faucet. Just a little drip. I'm telling you, streams of living water. That's what Jesus promised. That's what he spoke of here. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. So many passages in the Bible. I'm telling you, you either have to ignore them or explain them away to not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that it's for us. Acts chapter 8. Now, you know, one of the things that we need to understand about the Bible, sometimes people don't know this, and that is that many of these books were not written over a matter of a few months or a year or two, but over many years, sometimes decades. And the book of Acts is one of those books that happened over many years. Acts chapter 8 is probably 7 or 8 years after the day of Pentecost. And here it is in Acts chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Philip has gone there to preach, and it says, as they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Now they believed what Philip was preaching about the kingdom and about Jesus, and they were baptized. I'm telling you, these people were born again. It even says that Simon the sorcerer, Simon himself also believed when he was baptized. He continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So they believed and they were baptized. Mark 16 and 16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. By the way, you see, now there have been some Spirit-filled people in certain churches and doctrines that have taught that if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't really saved. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Plain and simple. But there was something else available. Something else that happened. Verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. You see, to think that being born again and receiving the Holy Spirit, to think that those are the exact same thing, then none of these Samaritans were born again, even though they believed the gospel and were baptized, until Peter and John laid their hands on them. No, they were born again. They believed and were baptized. But then when Peter and John came down from Jerusalem, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. It was a separate experience. We've all heard of Paul's Damascus Road conversion. How he was traveling to Damascus to persecute Christians. And God knocked him to the ground. There was a great light and a voice spoke to him. And Paul was converted. He was ready to do whatever God wanted him to do. In the process of this conversion, he was blinded. But he goes on to Damascus, and there the Lord had sent a man to minister to him. We're going to pick it up in Acts 9, 17 and 18. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. But listen to what he said one more time. "That you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." There was another experience. Yes, he had been converted on the road to Damascus. He had made Jesus Lord. But when Ananias prayed for him, he was not only healed, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Something happened when he prayed for him. Acts 1:8 again. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be immersed in the Spirit. You see, that's literally what baptism is. It is immersion. And that's why we believe in water baptism, immersion. You need to understand, though, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is being immersed in the Spirit. It is being completely filled, being immersed with the Spirit of the Lord. We need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, a lot of people are missing much of what God has for them because they disregard the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to give you a couple of testimonies from great men of God in history. You know, a lot of people think that this is just isolated things down through history, but I'm telling you, God has always had a people, and there have always been people that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, it may not have been acknowledged or widely talked about, but it happened. Dwight L. Moody was a great evangelist in the latter part of the 19th century in the United States, and he gave this testimony. He said, "I began to cry as never before for a greater blessing from God. The hunger increased. I really felt I did not want to live any longer." Now, this was a man, a great man of God. He was ministering to people and preaching, and people were being saved, but there was just something on the inside of him that was hungering for more. He still had that hunger, that thirst that Jesus was talking about, that the Holy Spirit would fill. And he goes on, he says, "I kept on crying all that time that God would fill me with His Spirit." And I just want to say to you, there's a great prayer. No matter what doctrine you may have, you can pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you. Why would any Christian hold back or be hesitant to ask the Lord to fill them with His Spirit? Why not desire all that God has for you? But as Moody prayed that, he said, "One day in the city of New York," he says, "what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name." He said, "I can only say God revealed Himself to me, and I had such an experience of His love that I had to ask Him to stay His hand." He said, "I thought I was going to die. It was so heavy." Here's a testimony from Charles Finney in 1821. Finney was also a great preacher in New York, became an evangelist in the early 19th century. He said, "As I turned and was about to take a seat by the fire, I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit without any expectation of it, without ever having the thought in my mind that there was any such thing for me, without my recollection that I'd ever heard the thing mentioned by any person in the world. The Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love." And then he goes on later, he says, "I cannot recollect distinctly that it seemed to fan me like immense wings, and it seemed to me as these waves passed over me that literally moved my hair like a passing breeze. Now, these men had fantastic experiences with the Holy Spirit. And God does special things at special times, and He deals with everyone differently. But we need to understand that God does still pour His Spirit out and baptize people in the Holy Spirit. I think Finney's situation was especially unusual because he said, I'd never even heard of it. I'd never even thought of it. And God poured His Spirit out on me. There was a time when the Apostle Peter was preaching at Cornelius' house, and as he preached the word, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. So God does it in different ways at different times. There are times still today, well, just like Peter and John, where somebody laid hands on somebody and they received the Spirit. I myself, when I had started attending a Spirit-filled church, and I heard them talking about being Spirit-filled, and I was reading the Bible, hadn't really gotten to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but I prayed to be filled with the Spirit and believed that I had. And then sometime just a few days or weeks later, as I had continued to search the Scriptures and began to understand more and more, I said, Lord, if this is from You, then You do it. As soon as I opened my heart to that, as soon as I was willing to yield to that and open my heart to that, the very next thing that came out of my mouth was not English, but I began to pray in tongues. Just as soon as I was willing, just as soon as I opened my heart to that, God did that through me. I'm not telling you that He made me speak in tongues. I'm telling you that as soon as I was willing, that utterance was there. He enabled and He gave the power, the ability to be able to pray in that prayer language. And you know, that's really where the issue is for a lot of people. They don't even have a problem. They don't have a problem being filled with the Spirit. They don't have a problem if you want to talk about being baptized in the Spirit. But for a lot of people, they have a hard time when you start talking about speaking in tongues. But if the Bible makes it clear that that is for us, then why wouldn't we want that? Well, because now, Pastor, that is strange. You start talking about praying in a heavenly language. The Apostle Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. People say, well, do you have to pray in tongues? Do you have to do that to receive the Holy Spirit? I realize there are a lot of people that have said that you do. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says you have to speak in tongues. The better question is why wouldn't you want to? If God gives you a prayer language, have you ever been praying and there were things that you just couldn't express to God? Things that you just, in your heart, maybe you didn't even know what was going on, but you just, your language and your thoughts even fell short in expressing your heart to God? But when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in a heavenly language, that barrier is removed. And there is a release and a freedom, and your Spirit is praying through you. Paul said, I will pray with my Spirit. Now he says, when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. You don't know what you're saying. But he says, therefore, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with my mind. See, we need to do both. And we need to understand that there's a power, there's a blessing that's available as we yield to the Holy Spirit. Jude verse 20 tells us that we build up our most holy faith praying in the Spirit. By the way, the Bible never says that you have to speak in tongues to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it is the scriptural pattern that whenever the Spirit was poured out on people, the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke in tongues. He gives the utterance, He enables, He never forces anybody to do anything. But he empowers you and enables you to be able to pray in the Spirit. And I want to encourage some of you who have been baptized in the Spirit and been filled with the Spirit in times past. And maybe it was at a special service or a youth camp or maybe a certain time period in your life, but you haven't been praying in the Spirit. I want to encourage you and challenge you to stir that up, to go back and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you in your prayer life. I'm telling you, there are some things that God will do in you and work in you. some blessings that will come your way. But I especially want to encourage those of you who have been standing back saying, oh, I don't know about any of that. And maybe there's somebody here today, you're even saying, I never even heard of such a thing. Do you know in the book of Acts, there was one group of people who said, we not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. But when they taught them and showed them about the Holy Spirit, they also received the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage you, if you have not really received all that God has for you, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is for you. That promise of the Father, it's still for you today, and it's not hard to receive. Sometimes people make it difficult, and you know, that's where some of that weirdness has come in the past. You want to get people filled with the Spirit. Who baptizes people in the Spirit? It's not man. It's Jesus. Jesus does it. And man, listen, man just gets in the way a lot of times. You know, people do things like tell people who want to receive the Spirit, tell them to say banana backwards real fast. Come on now. That's not God, that's man. And I was in one service one time where the minister was going to pray for people to receive the Spirit, and so he would say a couple of syllables and say, y'all just repeat what I say. And they would repeat what he said, and he said, okay, y'all got it. They didn't get anything but what man had. I'm telling you, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and it is as simple as this. He said, listen, it's Luke 11:13. If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's a gift, remember? It's a gift. And if you just ask, all you have to do is believe you receive. Mark 11:24 again. Believe you receive and you shall have it. See, sometimes people ask and they say they're believing, but they're believing down the road. Maybe someday. No, he said, believe you receive. Believe you receive and you shall have it. And I'll tell you, there's no better application of Mark 11:24 than when you are asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. One last time, Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be witnesses of me. We need power to live this Christian life. We need power to be able to minister to others. When it's all said and done, our personality, our talents, our own abilities, our intelligence, our education, all of those things will fall short and be vain and empty without the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that anoints and causes our ministry, our witness, our Christian life to be effective and life-giving to others. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us.